Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987. Also editor of PWTorch.com, the website published starting in 1999, and host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, available in iTunes and also at PWTorchLivecast.com. And you can subscribe on any popular podcast app on your iPhone, Android device, or iTunes. It is Tuesday, December 15th, 2015, and what a week it's been. I have a feeling we went from complaining about an awful ending to Raw last week and way below par editions of Raw, in fact, a stretch of below par editions of Raw, but especially the last two, and boy, did things flip around. A lot of people will ask when I'm complaining about stuff, you know, they'll email or they'll post on Twitter, if you hate it so much, why don't you quit watching? Well, because of weeks like this, duh. I mean, when things are bad and you ignore it, things tend not to get better. But when things are bad and not only do people on the outside notice, but it gets so obvious that people on the inside are willing to take chances and shake things up and take drastic measures or correct the course on some things that were going wrong, that's when the complaining pays off, whether it's external pressure or internal pressure. Burying your head in the sand and saying, come on, if you love WWE, you shouldn't complain when it's bad. You're not servicing WWE, its wrestlers, or the fans. This is one of those weeks, and I mean that internally, especially the yes men within the company, you know, maybe validating the excuses for why things weren't bad. Things turned around. Now, this is not a long-term turnaround. They pulled out a lot of hot shots to turn things around in terms of fan response, crowd response, TV viewership up to, I think, 3.8 million, up from about 3.1 million last week. A giant jump in ratings and a lack of a drop in the third hour, too, by the way. So a lot of good things to talk about, a lot of interesting things to talk about in terms of what happens from here. We're headed to Christmas and New Year's, but Raw doesn't fall on those specific dates, but we do have the Slammies next week. Then we have that week in between Christmas and New Year's. After that is a first episode of 2016. It's the road to WrestleMania informally begins at that point. And I think things are going to get really fun. I mean, I think Roman Reigns turned a corner. He might turn back, but it took a while. But I think he even in Philadelphia got the crowd to accept him. Now, let's not exaggerate. This was not the crowd reacting to Stone Cold Steve Austin or, heck, even Shawn Michaels at his peak or Bret Hart when he was at his peak as a babyface. There's still some ground to cover. But this was a big improvement. And they did some very deliberate things to make it happen, including pulling the Vince McMahon card. And that doesn't happen very often. And it's, I think, exhibit A for why you don't overexpose major characters. And you could say, well, Vince is sort of an exception, a standalone example. Well, to a degree, yes. You can't do it with everybody. You can't have John Cena only show up twice every 8 years. You know, he's in his full-time prime. But this appearance by Vince McMahon created a buzz. It kept people tuned in, and it, I'd say, helped Roman Reigns get over. If you want to give us a call here, this show is live. We're live 5 days a week, and sometimes six, when we have a live post-game show. You guys actually broke Blog Talk Radio Sunday night. We had hundreds of people call over the course of the first half hour that we were supposed to be live on the air. I think there was over 150 or 180 when we tried to get the show started on Sunday night. And you crashed the server. So many people were logging onto the site and calling in. So I expect we're going to have a lot of phone calls on today's show also. Thankfully, we talked to Blog Talk management and made sure that we'd be okay today. But nevertheless, we are live 5 days a week. You can find us at pwtorchlivecast.com. We got an array of different hosts and different formats, although they tend to be the same on the same day each week. Tuesdays, I'm joined by Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. Thursdays, I also host, and it's Interview Thursday. last Thursday, a must-listen interview with Jim Ross. Speak of somebody speaking truthfully and bluntly about WWE and what he felt needed to be changed. And I think we saw some of those changes on Sunday and Monday. I call it a must-listen two-hour-plus interview with Jim Ross. Really, he's a renowned podcast host of his own. But it's fun turning the tables on somebody like Jim and asking him questions. And we got some great caller questions throughout the show and some great email questions, too. So check that out if you haven't yet. Monday night, following Raw, James Caldwell, along with Pat McNeil, at the beginning of the show at least, host the post-Raw episode of the PW Torch livecast at 11:30 Eastern at the bottom of the hour after Raw. Wednesdays, Pat McNeil with an array of guests, all-star panels, and wrestler guests. And then Fridays is Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant of EastCoastCast.com, the sister podcast to PW Torch livecast. You can find them at EastCoastCast.com. So that's the lineup Monday through Friday, and then Sundays after major pay-per-views. All right, let's bring Jason Powell aboard, and then after a brief discussion with him, we'll take our first break, and then we'll go to calls. So stand by if you're on hold. 646-721-9828 is the number to call, and be sure to push 1 on your touchtone phone when you call in. Be sure to push 1 if you're intending to be on the show. Otherwise, you'll be in the standby line as opposed to the caller queue. So it's important you push 1 if you want to participate in the show. All right, let's go ahead and bring Jason Powell into the program. Jason, thank you for joining me once again today. Better week of wrestling to talk about.
Yeah, finally. It's going to be a fun week, too, with NXT and Ring of Honor still yet to come this week. Kind of the last big week of pro wrestling, I think, in 2015.
Absolutely. This is actually going to be one of the bigger weeks. And if you count, I mean, my week kind of ends with the newsletter deadline and the live cast on Tuesdays, and then it kind of feels like it begins anew on Wednesday. But really, Sunday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday, however you want to look at it, one of the best one-week periods I think we're in store for, assuming NXT TakeOver and ROH live up to expectations. Your poll response over at ProWrestling.net, Jason, flipped. I mean, you had, in your poll the last couple of weeks, remarkable negative poll responses. It wasn't just us being negative, Jason. We were reflecting the larger wrestling fan base, at least those visiting your website, and our Torch poll was similar. Most people giving the show basically a D or an F. This week, it flipped. I think it's in the 70% range, 70-plus percent range, might even be 80, giving it a thumbs up. I think it would be hard not to give last night's Raw a thumbs up. Jason, how much of a rebound did they make, part one, and how confident are you this is sustainable or a sign of perhaps momentum headed towards a Rumble, or do you think maybe it's kind of a one-time thing, it's going to be hard to follow up on this because it was sort of hot-shotty?
Well, we're 2 weeks away from the Monday Night Football season ending. That's going to be helpful. For God knows what reason, the Slammy Awards seem to do okay, and so I think that will help them as well. We you know, Christmas falls at the right part of the week for them, so that last show of the year may do okay, although it does go against...
Thank you, Santa, by the way, for scheduling Raw.
It's all his doing.
Yes.
But it does go against the Monday Night Football game. I've been mistaken about that. I'm used to the last week of the year there not being a game, but the regular season actually goes into the new year, and so they have until the end of the year. Every Monday they'll go against a football game, and the last one, I believe, is a pretty big one. I think it's Broncos-Bengals or something along those lines, which is pretty big. But I think once you get through that, they're in a pretty good position. Yes, they'll face some college bowl competition, but really, as you said earlier, WrestleMania season begins. Now they have things straightened out with Roman Reigns. They desperately need to find or position some top heels. I think Sheamus did an admirable job. I don't think he's a long-term solution. And I think they're kind of... They're doing what Hunter has said his role in WWE is, in case of emergency hit glass, and they may not view it that way, but looking at the lack of heels on that, meaningful heels on that roster right now, I think they are in emergency mode with Triple H and trying desperately to get Roman Reigns over and keep him over, because if you take that out, if they don't have that card to play with, what are they left with? Another Sheamus rematch?
Yeah, that's the issue that I think we can flesh out as time goes on here on the show. You know, yes, they took some steps with Roman. Now, who do they have as heels who are healthy and can go? So, yes. All right, let's, without any more delay, let's go to our first break. We'll hear from some sponsors. When we come back, we're going to start taking phone calls. You can also email us if you're listening live and aren't able to call but want to participate You can email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We generally answer email questions in the VIP exclusive after show for our respective members, but sometimes we do get to some emails during the show. And I made an effort to do that with the Jim Ross interview last Thursday, even though we had a lot of callers. So don't give up on that. You can always drop us an email too, but otherwise give us a call, 646-721-9828. While we're at break, you might want to check out, besides, of course, paying attention to our sponsors because they make the show possible, but also check out news stories. We got news stories up on the condition of William Regal leaving the NXT tour early. I'm sure that hurts with the, NXT, his pet project, being in London. And to have to leave early and not be there, it's got to be heartbreaking. But he's got a medical issue to take care of, not life-threatening or anything, but serious enough to take him off tour. Wade Barrett updating his health and why he's been missing. Also in our news feed at pwtorch.com, what happened after Raw went off the air with Roman Reigns and other off-air notes. Plus, the season premiere date for Total Divas. AJ Styles talks about whether he's interested in TNA. An update on, in WWE. I got ahead of myself there. Also, an update on whether TNA or how TNA's run on Destination America is coming to an end. Some notes on Raw's Twitter TV rating. Mauro Ranallo, the new host of SmackDown. I'm sure we'll get into that. Talks, I think, I'm excited about what he's saying, which is SmackDown's going to have a new identity. I don't know what they mean by this, but it's going to be a mix of pop music and alt music, I guess, to use Triple H's terminology, because it's going to be a mix of WWE and NXT in format. I want to talk to Jason about that later. Why did Rey Mysterio join Lucha Underground? John Cena talks about the potential of his career winding down. When will that happen? Under what circumstances? Triple H announces some NXT tour dates in January. WWE has a sponsorship with Coca-Cola, which is huge. We've got some numbers on TNA, on Destination America, and on. So, it's absolutely worth going to pwtorch.com every day. Bookmark it. There's a ton of compelling stories. James Caldwell is the main reporter at that site, does a great job with detailed reports and analysis. That's just the news. We've got house show reports, paper reports, TV reports, special editorials, exclusive features, Michael Moore's collectibles column, and so much more. Check it out. It's a newly designed website. It just debuted a couple months ago, and it's also compatible with your tablet, your phone, or your laptop and desktop. That's pwtorch.com. On to our sponsors, and we'll be back with phone calls right after this. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Cheap Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. All right, we're back on the PW Torch Livecast. I want to remind you, if you're shopping this holiday season at Amazon, please consider starting your Amazon shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. The way it works is when you land on that page, if you're in the United States, Canada, or the United Kingdom, click on that link on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon page that you're used to shopping at. But everything you buy on that shopping trip leads to us getting a cut of the profit. You get the same selection, same prices, but Amazon gives us some of the profit they would keep for themselves if you went directly to their website in exchange for us mentioning them in front of all of you listeners. So it's a nice deal, and would really appreciate if you think of us during this holiday season. If you start typing AMAZ, stop and think of us and throw a few quarters, a couple bucks our way, depending on how much you're shopping. It's like throwing a little tip in the tip jar at the coffee shop. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon instead. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. All right, we are back on the show. Let's dive into phone calls. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, of course, is my guest because it's Tuesday. And we're talking mostly, I think, about the TLC Monday Night Raw pair of shows that had really good reviews. Most people rating in the polls that I've seen online at PWTorch and ProWrestling.net especially, rating it a good show, not a great show, and then Raw seems to be pretty close to a split between a good and great show in terms of the reaction. So we'll get our discussion going here and begin with 616, and then after that, 770. 616, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. Can you come back to me in about 5 minutes, please?
Sure, no problem. That happens. No problem, Eric. We'll come back to you. We'll take our first official proper call here. And let's put Eric on hold at 770. 770, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Jimmy from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
I actually have three quick questions. Don't try and take too much time up. The first one being, do you think it was a mistake letting Roman win last night and not winning the night before? You want to do all three, or you want to wait?
Yeah, we'll do one at a time. We get in trouble when we take all three, even though we enter that process with confidence, and we end up thinking about questions two and three and forget number one. Jason, I've heard that before the last couple of days. Should Roman Reigns have won at TLC? Does it not matter as much in the network era, or in a way does it matter more to maybe give people that payoff, the paying customers the payoff?
Okay, it's something you don't want to do on a consistent basis, that's for sure, but it's not something they've done regularly. They've given away some undercard rematches and things of that nature, but I think it's smart to have this done in front of the bigger viewing audience, and especially with the numbers they brought in last night for Raw, which were substantial increases over last week.
Yeah, I'm with Jason. I think when you're trying to get Roman Reigns over, now, I'll tell you this, if it so happened, and I mean, it's not the way it is, but if it so happened that Raw was on Sunday and the TLC was on Monday or something like that, where the days were switched, I would have had the title change on the pay-per-view. I think it's not so much the audience size that mattered to me in terms of voting for the title change to be on Raw, but it was the sequence. I think that you wanted to follow up TLC with the beatdown of Triple H with the angle that they did on Raw and building towards that main event throughout those 3 hours. So, I think you have the benefit of, 3.8 million, give or take, people seeing the title change on Raw in the main event. I don't know what the peak number is for the show, but I suspect it's higher than the third-hour average. So if people were impressed by Roman Reigns, that was a good opportunity to show him winning the match. And getting in the mix with Vince McMahon, Jason, I think does help elevate Roman. I'll save that for later on. Let's go to the second question from Jimmy.
Okay, how does the tribute troops work? I know that they've already pre-recorded it, but all the championships were on, like Dean Ambrose didn't have the title, and Roman Reigns didn't have the title. How will that work?
Good question. Jason, obviously they're just going to change all the titles back tonight at the SmackDown tapings.
I don't know if they had the champions out there with their title belts or if they'll just gloss over. I don't know how they're going to handle it. Tribute to the troops is a nice show. They're proud of it, but I don't think they worry too much. So if you see them with the title belts, life goes on. But my guess is that they probably just didn't bring title belts out, Wade.
Either they didn't bring title belts out, not in anticipation of title changes, but sort of just in case. One thing that they could do in future years to avoid any issues in this regard is just have the belts, leave the belts with, sort of like with some kids or some of the military personnel where, they're taking pictures with the belts or something like that. So the wrestlers, have some sort of built-in storyline. But really, you don't even have to do that. Just have the wrestlers come out without their belts. Who cares? It's a pre-taped show. It's not angle-driven unless you count, poking somebody dressed as Santa in the belly and him overselling or something like that as an angle. It's a light show. So that doesn't bother me as much as if, say, they had taped, a month of SmackDown ahead of time. That I would have an issue with. Jimmy, number three.
Okay, assuming that Triple H and Roman Reigns are going to fight each other at WrestleMania because of what happened, how's that going to affect the world title picture? I mean, do you think he'll lose?
Interesting question. Jimmy, I think I get the gist of what you're saying there. Jason, do you think it's Roman Reigns against Triple H at WrestleMania, at
no.
Rumble, perhaps to hotshot the first Raw of 2016? What are the options and where are you leaning?
I lean toward the Royal Rumble. Because in order to get to Triple H and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, if Reigns is still the champion, then Triple H has to win the Royal Rumble. And sure, he could put himself in at 30. I don't think that goes over well. I think they're looking at the Royal Rumble, and normally the Rumble sells itself, and I'm an advocate of kind of going with a lighter match for the world title match, just something, you know, if this were still Seth Rollins as champion, I might say, well, go with Seth Rollins and Neville, you know, and have some fun, something that you're not relying on that match to sell the show. But they need to sell the Rumble as best they can because they're going against the NFL Conference Championship games that night for reasons that I'll never understand. I don't know why they scheduled it that way, but normally they have the Royal Rumble the week in between those games in the Super Bowl. This year they go directly opposite. I believe it's the NFC Championship game. And I think they're going to load up the Rumble a little bit more than just with the Rumble itself. And I just think that the way we saw that match set up, it feels like it's too soon for WrestleMania. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think stretching Hunter versus Roman all the way to Mania would you would have to have something to carry them all the way there, where Hunter would cool down from the beatdown and then have it get heated up again. And yeah, if Roman's still champion at Mania, and I think he will be, I don't think it makes sense to have Hunter going after the belt. So I think if Hunter's going to wrestle at the Rumble, he's not going to be in the Rumble now if he's still champion. He's got to defend the title. You talked at the top of the show, Jason, not a lot of heels to choose from that are pay-per-view worthy or Rumble title shot worthy. So Triple H is. So I could see Stephanie and Hunter, quote, abusing their power, and Hunter saying, I want to take this belt back, and I can still go, or if I win it, I'm going to appoint a different champion or hold it till Seth gets back. I don't know. They can have all kinds of storylines. They could also do a non-title match, Jason, at the Rumble and have it just be a grudge match and have Hunter say, I'm past the point of wanting to be champion. You know, I'm running the ship, but I want to get revenge on you. And they have a non-title match. I don't think that hurts how many people buy the WWE Network in January based on that. I mean, I guess maybe it's a little bonus if some people would think, oh, maybe Hunter wins the belt. But mostly, I think they just want to see the grudge match.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is the match where they jack up the stipulation so that if Hunter loses, he obviously doesn't win the title, but he and Stephanie also lose power. I mean, Vince,
that'd be nice.
I don't know if Vince comes back to television after this, but they could, you know, if they want to have him on one more time, they could always set that up. And then you have some pretty high stakes there. And at least it doesn't feel like just a gimme that Reigns wins. Well, it probably still feels like a gimme that he wins, but at least there's some fallout on the other side if Hunter does lose the match.
Let's go next to 301, and then we'll go back to Eric in Grand Rapids after that. 301, thanks for holding, and thanks for calling. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Junior from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Junior. Good to hear from you. What have you got?
Hey, what's going on, Wade? What's going on, Jason? Hey, man, real quick, because I'm going to get out the way, but I know y'all got a lot of callers. Last night was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was a good job. I mean, nice way to win in Raw for a change. I like the format of the show for the most part, but at the end of the day, I still see them having a whole lot of problems, and I don't know if I think they've done so much damage. It's going to take a long time for them to fix it. So, but I do have three things.
What do you think is still broken, Junior? What's number one and two on your list of things to fix?
Well, number one, the booking, the 50-50 booking. I mean, I know we've all talked about it 100 times, but the 50-50 booking has really killed. They have no heels. And really, they have no baby faces. Like, they have all heels. And all their baby faces have been emasculated to the point of no return, a lot of them. Like the blow-off, Dolph Ziggler, he need to just go away. Just go away for 6 months. And when he comes back, he need a new name, new unit, new gear, new everything. He need to be a totally different person.
Yeah.
That's how much damage I think they've done to Dolph Ziggler. That's my opinion, but that's how
I remember right, that was Jim Ross. I think Jim Ross said that on Thursday. I don't know if I'm mixing his opinion up with somebody else's, but yeah, Dolph's one of those guys I think who would benefit from going away and coming back. Junior, anything else you would do on your
checklist? Yeah, I had three things that I think that would help Roman Reigns get over a lot more, a lot faster. And
yeah.
I wanted to know what you guys thought about it.
Okay.
All right. First thing, take that stupid-ass vest off because it looked like a toy. That's the first thing. You know what I mean? He looked like an action figure, and I think that takes away a lot of him. He's the only one out there wrestling with armor on. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but he is.
Yep.
That's the thing. I don't think very many people notice that. I mean, I think people like the look, by and large.
I mean, you say they like it?
I think they do. I mean, it's just not something, you know, in all the complaining we've heard about Roman Reigns, Wade, has that come up more than today? I mean, maybe once.
I think I complained once. I thought it was a little much.
I don't think it's most
people's top five reason to not support Roman Reigns. I'll put it that way.
I said it would help him get over.
Yeah, I'm a little more with Junior, but I don't know what's under that. If it's a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah, yes, you do. Because remember when he fought Brock Lesnar? Remember Rock ripped it off of him.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, you do know what's under him. Once he ripped that vest off, that mask got a lot realer.
That's true.
A lot fat.
No, there is an aspect of Roman where I think if there's no reason to hide what's under there, and you're a good example of why we know and shouldn't be worried, I kind of feel like it makes him a little bit less of looking like a video game or an action figure. And I wouldn't mind if it weren't that his mannerisms are so practiced and rehearsed. You know, the cocking the fist before the Superman punch and yelling like he does before the spear. It makes him feel a little less human and a little bit more of a programmed robot top star kind of pulled out of this virtual reality video game. I think maybe he would visually and maybe even on a hard to put your finger on, but just he would manage to connect more with fans if he wasn't so protected in that vest, you know, that what looks like almost a bulletproof vest type thing. I would vote for taking it off unless I was given a reason I don't know about not to. But at the same time, Junior, I'm kind of partially with Jason in that I don't think it's a deal killer. But I can understand it being on your list going, hey, you know, when's the last champion who just looked like he was, you know, a G.I. Joe kit with every accessory added to it?
I don't remember anyone complaining when the Shield all wore those vests.
Yeah, but they weren't top single stars.
Here's my counter to that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you all off. Here's my counter to that. He looks like the only one that never left the Shield in the first place.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's
my biggest problem with him. That's been one of my biggest problems with him the whole last year. He looked like he's the only one that never left the Shield.
Yeah, music. James always puts, you know, the Shield. James Caldwell in his Raw report says, the Shield entrance music played, and out comes Roman. You know, it's kind of this, it would make Minnesotans proud. It's sort of a passive-aggressive comment, perhaps, on the fact that Roman hasn't changed since then. Jason, I do think there's something about when you're the top single star, especially a lead babyface. I mean, again, I don't want to belabor the point because I don't think it's a top five reason for Roman to improve on or change things, but it's there, and I don't remember a top babyface being that covered up. And I don't know. I think it does work against him a little bit. I think it's at least a discussion point.
Agree to disagree.
All right, cool. Junior, go ahead.
Okay, my second one is...
I'm done with Jason. I'm putting him on hold.
The second one is they need to... However they had him doing his promos last night, I don't know, maybe you can answer me a question real quick, Wade. When these wrestlers talk to these writers, do they go to the wrestlers like, okay, this is what I want to say, but I want to say it in your voice, so tell me how you would say this, and then that's what we'll go with? Do they do that?
You know, John,
because if they did that with him, I think it would work a whole lot more.
John
and become
Pirmarini,
across way realer.
John Pirmarini, ex-creative team member, has been on the show a lot of times. He detailed that and how that process works. Generally speaking, a wrestler works with the same writer each week and gets a rapport with him, and the writer's job is to try to write in the voice of that wrestler. I think it comes down to, if I had to write out everything I said on the live cast, memorize it, and then read it, recite it on camera, I don't think it would be better. Maybe some people would like it better, but maybe fewer of certain, you know, vocal tics or repeating yourself or something like that. But in general, it wouldn't feel conversational. And I think wrestling fans in a pro wrestling context are looking for conversation. You know, a conversational tone, a sense that when the wrestler's talking, they're actually thinking of the words before they say them, not reciting them from memory. But it does come down to, is Roman and the writer or writers he's working with able to, you know, pre-orchestrate his promos in a way that does sound like his natural voice? Jason, I haven't seen the clip yet, but I know there's a clip out there of what Roman said after Raw went off the air, and it got some compliments from what I saw. Did you happen to see that yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, so Roman apparently just was very personable, you know, in a non-scripted way after Raw went off the air, and somebody had commented I should watch it, and they'd like to see more of it. Okay, go ahead, Junior.
All right, my last point, my last thing that I think that will help him get over a whole lot more is his moveset. If he could just dial... No, this is the one. I think, you know, instead of him making him another Super Cena, why don't they have him like be the type of wrestler? Give him points for dodging the opponent or the enemy's kill shot versus like shaking it off. Like he took that bro cake and shook it off like it wasn't nothing. I would give him more props for the guy that could avoid getting the kill shot and hit his own. I would respect that a whole lot more as a competitor, watching that dude compete and knowing that, okay, I know this guy has a dangerous move and I'm trying to avoid it at all costs. And then you show that in the match, and you book him as the type of dude that's smart enough to know, okay, I'm not going to let you get yours on me, but I'm damn sure get mine on you. I don't know. To me, I think those three things would help him get over a whole lot faster, in my opinion.
I want Junior to write Roman Reigns' promos, Jason. I want him. I like what he just said there. Go ahead. What do you think? Book Reigns in that way.
Well, as far as the moveset is concerned, I mean, it'd be nice to see it expand. I think it has slowly but surely. He's a little too proud of his leap over the top rope, for instance. But, you know, I mean, we've seen him work some things in. Yes, I'd like to see it expand, but I think this is what they want from him. And I think that going back to the vest even, I think they want him to come off as like this action figure video game star. I really think that's what they think the key to his success is, and they don't seem to be as bothered by his lack of moves as we are. Otherwise, I think you'd see him working on more things on the house shows than what he does.
Yeah, but that doesn't, if they're not worried about it, doesn't mean they're not wrong, because
they spent
over a year trying to get him over, and it hasn't worked, and maybe one of the reasons is they think it's not a problem that he comes across as a video game or action figure come to life. And so that's what I'm kind of hoping happened in the last week is, you know, those couple ratings in a row, the reaction to Roman. I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked, and it would be behind closed doors and kept private, if Roman didn't just go to Vince and go, this isn't working. I put my career in your hands, but I got to speak up. These are things that I think are wrong. These are things I need to do different. I mean, if he has that kind of self-awareness, wrestling IQ and ideas, or other people are in his ear, he certainly has friends in high places. You know, I mean, at some point, Roman doesn't want to go out there with a bad script and die like he did last Monday on Raw, and this was a better experience. Now, that said, he still talked about prunes, where last week it was tater tots. I could have done without that, if only because the tater tots thing bombed so badly that maybe you want to avoid the whole grapefruit thing with Vince, even though it's very convenient to do so, because it's, you know, a big catchphrase for Vince. All right, we've got over a dozen people on hold, but you can get in line, 646-721-9828. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. We're taking your phone calls. Let's go check out and see if Eric is still there, and if he's ready for us. Eric from Grand Rapids, are you ready for us?
Yep, I'm ready now. I had to take care of something. But
of course.
Who do you think wins the Royal Rumble? Do you think, since Kevin Owens lost the Intercontinental title, he might win it, or do you think Cena wins it? And you talk laughing about Roman Reigns or Cena turning heel. Who do you think is more likely to turn heel now? And that's all I got. Thanks.
Gee, two easy questions, Jason.
I think they are, in a way. I do. I think it's, well, it comes down to two people for the Rumble, in my opinion, and it's John Cena or Brock Lesnar. That win that match and go on to face Reigns at WrestleMania. I think they've just shown such determination when it comes to Roman Reigns. Believe it or not, if somebody told Vince you absolutely must turn one of these men, I think he would turn John Cena at this point, because he's just been so stubborn with Reigns for the last 2 years, really.
Well, I think one way Roman Reigns can get himself over is marketing himself, but he has to do so in a way that comes across as authentic, as the anti-Cena, as the guy who's not going to do a lot of the things that people don't like John Cena for. You know, the ones who are booing Cena, try to figure out what that is, and can Roman play against that without losing another big part of the fan base who like John Cena? You know, and that's kind of the hopscotch that he has to play. You know, how does he land on the squares that tell people, John Cena haters, I'm different than him, without falling outside of the squares and upsetting the people who are saying, wait a second, I like John Cena, and if Roman Reigns doesn't, I don't like him. That's a challenge, but I would be intrigued to see it. Jason, I mean, when I say it's an easy, sarcastically say it's an easy question, I'm just not ready to say whether it's Cena or Lesnar. I do think it's probably, you know, 85, 90% chance it's one of those two. It's hard to come up with another person that jumps out at who would be Roman Reigns ready and healthy at that point. What about his other question? Well, I guess you kind of covered them both in one. Cena probably is a little bit easier.
Dean Ambrose is an extreme dark horse there. Yeah. If they ever win, if they want to, it feels premature to turn him right now. I think he's doing fine. Well, let's just, you know, for the sake of argument, if Reigns is kind of the odd man out, they have like four big wrestlers in two matches, and Reigns is the odd man out, well, then maybe it would be Ambrose, but I don't think that happens. I really do, you know, push comes to shove, I think they're going Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in the rematch from last year because they left it open. I think that's what they wanted to do at the time, and I'm guessing they get back to it now.
Yeah, and then it's interesting because you're trying to get Roman over as a babyface, and his two top opponents for Mania are both babyfaces. And does that get in the way of Roman turning face, or is there a story Vince is confident that he can tell that will get Roman out of it as a stronger babyface without hurting either Cena or Lesnar?
If he tries to be the opposite of John Cena, does that mean he, like, spears Make-A-Wish kids and super punches troops?
No, I think it's the other. Okay. I don't think that's why Cena gets booed. I think it's the other stuff.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd like to be clear on that. All right, let's give you a chance, Jason, to plug your website. What's on there today that people should check out, and also let people know about your membership option?
Yeah, you can check out all the headlines of the day. A lot of news going on today with William Regal and all of that, of course. And then the viewership numbers are in for Raw. My WWE Raw hit list is up. Will Pruitt's a little bit later today with his pause review. It may be ready. I'll have to double check. But that'll be up at some point here soon. And both two different perspectives on last night's WWE Raw show. And then tomorrow, live coverage of the NXT TakeOver London special. Zach Zimmerman will be doing the live coverage of that. And then Zach and I will get together for a member-exclusive audio review shortly after the show. And speaking of member exclusive, on the ad-free version of the site, 80 minutes of a WWE TLC discussion with Jake Barnett and I, 45 plus minutes of my Raw audio review from last night, 70 some minutes of my Q&A, weekly Q&A audio show. All those audio shows available exclusively to the members, again, on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page, look for that sign-up area. Once you're in there, you'll find three different pricing options. The monthly rate is $7.50. If you want to save yourself some money, you can do so by going 6 months or go all the way to annual. And the annual rate bumps it down to $5.50 a month is what it works out to if you go that route. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions on anything, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
If people have any questions on anything?
Anything. I don't care what it doesn't mean I'm going to answer them.
Okay.
But they can ask.
All right. I'd like to see people take you up on that. What is it? It's .net Jason at ProWrestling.net?
You can hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines and see what other people have to say. We've got a lot of people on hold, and we'll begin with area code 502. 502, thanks for holding. And by the way, 305 is on deck. 502, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is James from Louisville.
Hey, James, go ahead. What have you got for Jason and me?
Yeah, I just got a couple of questions real quick. First of all, I thought they took a good step by showing that Kevin Owens is, you know, kind of the badass heel last night. And do you think that if they continue to, you know, show him in that way and give him a couple minutes of promo time every week, do you think he possibly could end up becoming a top star sometime in the next year and competing for the title?
Jason, I think what we saw last night is a step in the right direction. And the short answer to James's question is, if they don't mess up Kevin Owens, yeah, I think he can become a top star. It just comes down to what are the odds that they don't kind of mess him up and they give him that freedom to be who he can be.
That's the thing, you know, and I thought last night was a step in the right direction. I thought it was much better. It's just nice to see him get a little bit of mic time without having to respond to some stupid fat joke or make some comment like that, although I did get a kick out of his line about how he always eats popcorn and drinks soda pop. I thought that was great the night before. But I think that was the best we've seen Owens really since the John Cena feud, is what I feel. You know, he was just cold and ruthless in attacking Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, and then just carried that over to the backstage setting. And yeah, I don't know that Vince McMahon is ever going to have Kevin Owens headlining WrestleMania. I just don't. But can he be a main player for that company for years to come? Yes, if they take care of him.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. All right, we'll go to 305 and then on deck 320. 305, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey guys, DJ from Miami. How you doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you, DJ. What have you got for Jason and me?
I got two questions. My first question is, have you guys noticed now that everybody's talking about their kids this, their kids that? I remember the era when it was so secretive, you know, and all the girls wanted them, and the wrestlers back then, you know, nobody knew they had families or nothing, and now it's all about families and families this and that. Have you guys noticed that?
I think we've seen more of it than I remember, yeah. I wouldn't say it's every... How many wrestlers can you name, DJ, right now that they've acknowledged have kids?
Okay, last night, one of them said, my kids, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and somebody else. I think...
One of the
I
Usos.
I can't remember who it was.
One of the Usos.
Else. Yeah, one of the Usos.
And then Kevin Owens does routinely.
Did Dean Ambrose say anything?
I don't remember Dean saying anything.
Yeah, I don't
In a long time.
Honestly, I don't even know if he has kids. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a daughter, he was saying. And this is when they were doing the snow thing.
Oh, so not last night?
No. This is a while back,
he was saying. So
but they're all saying that, you know.
So, DJ, we can think of four wrestlers who have acknowledged they have kids, not necessarily all in one weekend. Is it more than that, and you're forgetting? Because, I mean, I guess there's probably a span of time, Jason, where there was a roster of wrestlers where there weren't any acknowledgement of anybody having kids. And it does. You know, for Roman Reigns, I mean, it sort of takes away a fantasy that some women might have that, he's a bachelor, he's available, he's most eligible, that kind of thing. It's a little risky in that respect. But I think maybe the feeling is in the social media world and with some of the network reality shows they do and the PSAs that there's just no way to hide that, so they just decide to go ahead and embrace it.
Yeah, I think they want him to be more human, and I think that helps. It caught me off guard a little bit, too, because the entire time John Cena was married, it wasn't like they tried to hide it, but they certainly didn't flaunt it. For instance, his relationship with Nikki, it's never makes its way to the main television show. It certainly is on Total Divas. So, I mean, you know, things have changed a little bit, but I will admit, I was surprised when Roman talked about his wife and his daughter, but I think I get the strategy there at the same time.
Yeah, yep, very good. All right, let's go next to area code 320 and then on deck 954. We'll do a couple Minnesota calls first. Go ahead, 320, state your name and the city you're calling from. 320. All right. I guess we won't get to two Minnesota calls in a row. Let's go to 954, though. 954, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Joe, VIP member from Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, Florida. Oh, I was looking at 954 and I thought I saw 952. My mistake. Well, go ahead. You have zero Minnesota callers in a row. But Florida, Joe, give us a question or comment.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Actually, two questions. So I'll give you the first one. I know we already touched on Kevin Owens a little bit, and I know you, Wade, touched on this on the pay-per-view roundtable following TLC, but I was curious what you guys both thought about the exaggeration of Kevin Owens' weight in which he was being compared to Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow during the IC title match.
Yeah, I think when Vince McMahon looks at Kevin Owens, he sees, like, Crusher Jerry Blackwell or something. You know, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, he's a little bit husky, but he looks athletic enough to me. Jason, what's the obsession with pointing out that Kevin Owens doesn't look like Randy Orton or whatever body type is supposed to be the only athlete type of body?
I think they're trying to justify his existence on their roster filled with beautiful people. I think there's some weird hang-up with it. I just would simply, if they even feel the need to address it, I don't think it needs to be addressed, but now that they've mentioned it so many times, call it strategy. Say that that's the weight that he works best at, like you would in MMA.
Yeah, I agree. It's Kevin Owens is not he's not Roy Nelson, you know, from UFC. Like I get Roy Nelson, you know. I mean, he was eating Whoppers on his way to the ring, and it was just like, you know, he looked like the last guy in the world you think would be a heavyweight contender. But that's not Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens looks like he could be a pro football player and not even necessarily like a lineman who's way overweight, you know, and he's not Refrigerator Perry. So yeah, I vote no on Owens talking about his diet and being eating junk food and all that. I mean, I get he was taking a dig at Dean Ambrose with his comment, but I'd like to see Kevin Owens stay away from self-deprecating comments in that regard. I think the announcer should be talking about what a great athlete he is. And like you said, Jason, he uses that extra weight to his advantage. It fits his ring style. He's a push forward on the offense type guy with power moves, and it's worked for him, and he's found his optimum weight. And give fans that story to believe in, and you don't have to make excuses for somebody who looks like him. So yeah, I'm down on that too. By the way, I am the guest of Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Steve Austin Show today. It just dropped earlier today with a hour-long discussion on TLC. So if you want to hear Steve Austin's point of views, and Steve and I bounce back and forth on our thoughts on that show, some differing views and some like-minded views also, that is available at Podcast One, the Steve Austin Show, also, of course, available on iTunes. So check that out. All right, let's go next to area code 210, and then after that, 281. 210, please state your name and the city you're calling from. 210. Going once, going twice. All right, we'll go to 281 then. 281, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
No, this is Boris from Chicago.
Hey, Boris, yep. When I hung up on one guy, the switchboard moved on me, and I clicked you instead of 281.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead, Boris. It's your lucky day.
I got three questions. My first one has Blog Talk with Sunday night's the server outage. Was this the first time that Blog Talk got shut down by your show?
It's happened twice. I don't know when the last time was. I don't remember exactly.
I think that was awesome. Even though we didn't get on that night, I think it was awesome because I'm still curious to, with all of us slamming the server like that, what did everybody want? I mean, it was a good show. I'm just curious to, we didn't get to know what people had wanted to ask or talk about. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because we didn't go live.
Well, yeah, but now we have we had last night and now tonight.
Right. Okay, and this is, you can chime in too, this really for Jason, because I listened to his show with Triple H, the conference call, and once again, this dude talks so well about NXT, and is it possible for him to just stay with NXT and not be on Raw? Because, you know, what he do on Raw really, really, you know, it conflicts me with me. I love him on with NXT, but it really conflicts me that him being on Raw. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, Jason, go ahead.
Hey, are we talking Sami Zayn? Is that who it was?
No, Triple H.
I want to see that character make its way to Raw someday. I want to see him be that, you know, spokesman for the company, the goodwill ambassador type, the fair-minded authority figure. I think he plays that part very well, and we've seen him do it, but they decided to do that goofball angle where everybody walked out on him. I thought he was effective in that role, and he certainly is in NXT. So I'm not just saying keep him in NXT forever and keep him completely away from WWE because of just for that reason that I think someday it's going to work very well on the main roster.
And I'll say this. I was kind of a little bit confused when Roman Reigns was beating up Triple H after Triple H did nothing to him at that moment. If Roman was beating up the good guy ambassador of the upcoming great NXT TakeOver special, the guy who brings us our favorite promotion that all the hardcore fans in Philly love, or the evil authority version of Triple H. It's like when those universes overlap in a really stupid, inconsistent way. I was kind of wondering, are we supposed to, is that a Roman Reigns heel turn? Second of all, Triple H, and I know William Regal's not going to be there now, but Triple H better not show up Wednesday, all smiley, playing alternate universe good guy Triple H. He needs to be selling what happened on Sunday. His face should not appear on that NXT TakeOver show. He was too involved in major storylines as a heel to show up in some alternate universe world where he's just fine and we love him because he's a great guy. Right, Jason?
Does it bother you that he just posted a picture of himself on the streets of London?
He is convalescing in Connecticut, Jason.
He really did.
No,
London,
I know.
Calling, and there
I don't
the
want
streets,
him on that. Social media, you can say, well, maybe that's a different world. Stay off that TakeOver special. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, I was a bit disappointed. I know he's kind of the spokesman for NXT, but the day after the pay-per-view, there he is, you know, just tweeting out, hey, big news, we're coming to the Midwest for NXT. I was like, man, can't somebody else do that? It's just, it's strange. I wish they were a big injury angle like that. I mean, I don't expect them just to change their ways completely, but when there's a big main event injury angle, I wish even on social media they could just keep, you know, remain in character by doing nothing rather than going out there and just everything's fine. Here's a bunch of NXT dates.
Yeah, Triple H looks just fine. He somehow made it to London since last night when he was convalescing somewhere in Connecticut. And no worse for wear. Looking very dapper in that suit. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really against it. I'm disappointed, and I still hope he does not show up on that NXT TakeOver special.
My last thing.
Yeah.
Because this leads into this. Naomi is a heel, I'm assuming, and Uso is a face. What is with it confuses me that, okay, when they do these little extra vignettes and stuff like that, they, you know, one is a heel, one is a face. Why can't they just team or put them on one side so, okay, it's identified that, okay, the Usos and Naomi, just like it's like Sasha Banks could be a face or a heel. They're not teaming the pairs up since you announced that these people are married or have some type of relations. Why can't they fraction up with who they are? Like Daniel Bryan and Bree is a heel. Daniel Bryan, you know, it confuses me as the characters why they are split up like that, but they acknowledge that they are together.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, the lack of consistency in these different sections of the universe WWE creates, I think, you know, I use the term, they create an unnecessary headwind to people getting into the characters, because if they're watching TV, they like or dislike somebody for a certain reason, they pop on social media looking for some support of that, and they find out, they get reminded, oh, that's right, that was all just for fun, and they get emotionally divested from whatever, however charged up they were from what they were watching, and I don't see the downside to not doing it. Like you said, can't somebody else tweet about the tour of NXT? Can't somebody else introduce? Can't Rich Brennan just handle introducing the damn show on Wednesday afternoon?
I'm hoping that happens. It irritated me last week when we saw Team Bad be so chummy with the New Day, because it's like it's not even a total Divas thing. You've acknowledged on your television show on Raw and SmackDown that one of the Usos is married to Naomi, and then the next segment there's the Usos on commentary, and no, not even a question about it. Hey, your wife was just fraternizing with the enemy. What's going on? You're nothing.
Now, what I would like to see is a TMZ exclusive of what happened after Hunter took that photo in the streets of London, which is Roman Reigns hitting him from behind with a chair and knocking him out. You know, just carry the storyline over into TMZ. Why not, Jason?
Or right before Stephanie pulling the walker away just so he could take that picture.
There you go. Yeah, here's the wide shot. Hornswoggle's behind Hunter holding him up. And there's a makeup lady saying, I hope I did a good job covering up all the welts. And yeah, Stephanie and holding the wheelchair. And yeah, I know. I wish it's... And this thing, people go, oh, kayfabe is dead. It's like, kayfabe never existed. It's not dead. It never truly existed. I mean, you go back to the 1930s, there's newspaper reports. This wrestling stuff, you know, we're not covering it. There's a reason there's no legal betting on it. You know, this is not a new thing that people know wrestling is not real. I think there's a generation of people who think, oh, yeah, well, God, back in the 90s, people thought it was real. Back in the 80s, people thought it was real. People in the 60s didn't think it was real. Did fans attending... Did some of them not know better? Of course, there was a higher percentage. But this idea that there was ever this big con at the level of, you know, like UFC, if it came out that UFC was all a work, you know, as much as people believe it, nobody ever believed wrestling was as real as a pure sport. That did not exist. But wrestling promoters all along knew there was a lot of money in creating a mystique and protecting it and having consistency to your characters and having people believe that what you see on TV is a reflection of who these people are when the cameras are off. And Vince McMahon was the number one proponent of this. They'd say, well, what about these wrestling characters? And Vince would go, oh, not so fast. These aren't characters. These are amplified versions of who they really are. We gather eccentric, tough people, and they're the ones who we feature on our show. And yeah, they may in the spotlight work themselves into a into overdrive, but this is who these people are. You know, I mean, Steve Austin finally found his lane when he stopped trying to be a character and reflected who he was. The Rock, I mean, Dwayne Johnson's kind of like The Rock. Yeah, it's a little bit amped up, but you know, Shawn Michaels, a lot like the Shawn Michaels character that he played on television, and WWE didn't do anything to create conflict with that. Same with Bret Hart. Same with Jake Roberts. I mean, these people who drove money in a world when kayfabe existed, because it wasn't just dead as of 2005 or 2008 or whatever year people think it died. There was a true value in protecting a mystique. And this false notion that it's this new thing that kayfabe is dead, so therefore it'd be insulting to try to continue portraying anything on TV as nearly authentic, I think is really bad for business. And I'd love to see it get flipped back. I don't think it's a Pandora's box. There's no, you're the genie's out of the bottle, better example, or better way to put it. It's not about putting the genie back in the bottle. It's just about stop hitting yourself over the head with a hammer and making things more difficult for telling your stories. And you can stop doing that tomorrow, and things get better tomorrow. It's that simple. So, yeah, it's frustrating. I'm glad you brought up the Triple H thing, because that's something I've been kind of keeping my eye on, and it just... Yeah, I mean, it's not going to ruin the show for me, but it's going to make me think. I still really strongly disagree with the way WWE is doing things. All right, let's go to our next call and go to Ryan calling, I believe, on Skype. Go ahead, Ryan. Tell us the city you're calling from today.
Hi, it's Ryan from Huddersfield in England.
Excellent. Have you seen Triple H wandering around the streets?
No, but finally I get to watch pay-per-view around the time where it's not 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
8 p.m. quite a decent time for me. I watch everything the next day, so like a lot of other callers say, like the one from Australia, stuff like that, they watch them and fast forward a lot of it, but yeah, can't wait to watch it tomorrow live.
What time is it now? Is it what, 11 p.m. where you are now?
Just going 11, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. So what else?
So, a couple on the I was being listening. This Sheamus had Roman Reigns on the ropes in the fight, and he was whacking him on the chest of the padding. I was there watching it at work yesterday with one of my friends who was not the biggest wrestling fan. I was like, we've clearly got padding on there that's not actually going to hurt him. And that was just a point from earlier about the padded vest on him. You know, when Sheamus gets him on the side of the rope.
We got some people coming out on Twitter against the vest too, Jason. So we started something here.
I was just saying that one bit. Obviously, that if you're hitting him on the chest and he's got padding on it, it's pointless you hitting him.
I don't know if Jonathan is your friend, but
so
on Twitter,
nitpicky, guys. I mean, come on. Nobody was complaining about this. There was a million complaints about Roman Reigns, and today all of a sudden everyone hates the vest.
No, we're just saying it's a factor. And this was yesterday or Sunday that his buddy was complaining. Jonathan on Twitter says the vest Roman wears is terrible. It made Sheamus look dumb at TLC. Why would he beat a hard piece of plastic on the apron? Evil Ken on Twitter says Roman Reigns looks like a create your own wrestler from the 2K games. And Jim Morrison's liver on Twitter says I hated the Shield's fake SWAT gear too, and I hate the vest. So a few people coming out saying it there might be a silent disgruntledness with Reigns' gear. I certainly complained when they added a whole layer to it earlier this year. But anyway, go ahead, Ryan. We're not going to change Jason's mind, no matter how much evidence we give him that we're right and he's wrong.
I wasn't actually that bothered about his vest, to be honest. I just wanted to pick up that point. Anyway, so just two things, really. The TLC match, I thought the tag team match was by far the best on the night. It just kept me entertained all night. I mean, for the beginning of the pay-per-view. And then, if you had to choose out of AJ Styles or Jeff Hardy coming into the WWE main roster, which one would it be? And great show. I'm just become a VIP member as well. Keep doing what you're doing.
Excellent. I appreciate the call, Ryan. Good to hear from England. Jason, I think you asked who from NXT would we bring up. I thought Hunter had a good point last week, just saying, we don't want to bring anybody up until Vince McMahon's ready for them, and we have a plan.
Yeah, like Tyler Breeze.
I know. I was going to mention that earlier. God, I was sad when he lost the way he did on Raw. I mean, it's just like he's just become Adam Rose suddenly. I mean, just thank new toy. Now I'm bored. What's next?
Yeah, hey, that's a shame. I seriously hope they just say, you know what, this isn't working out right now. Let's bring it back to NXT. This is bad. I thought there was like AJ Styles or someone else. You may want to bring him back on. I'm neither. I thought I heard an AJ Styles,
okay.
There, but you know me with British accents.
go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry about that. I'm about to talk a bit slower for you. The first thing was obviously the TLC match, the tag team match. I just thought it was some good spots in it. And then it was, if you had to choose out of AJ Styles or Jeff Hardy coming back onto the main roster, which one would it be?
See, you didn't know, Ryan, that when you say AJ Styles or Jeff Hardy, to our ears, that sounds like NXT. All right, or maybe I just had bad listening skills. Thanks, Ryan. AJ Styles or Jeff Hardy, that's a heck of a choice, Jason. I mean, similar in age. I think AJ is a little bit older. Similar in wear and tear. They're both injured right now. Neither known for having great promos, neither known for being super tall, although Jeff is taller than AJ by a little bit. But those are the negatives that WWE might dwell on. They're both spectacular talents and have a real charisma that's made them really successful in a lot of places. Who would you take in their current state if you got to put them in the Rumble or have them at Mania or something like that?
Money or my personal taste? Because they are different.
Well, give us both.
To make money with Jeff Hardy, you plug him in. He's a star. That audience knows him. You know, and there's a lot of people that know AJ Styles too. But I think they would feel the need to introduce him, and you'd basically be starting from, you know, ground zero with him, just the way they do things, the way they operate, where Jeff Hardy really is a plug and play. I mean, he just they just fire up Hardy video packages. He comes in a major way, and he's just, you know, he could instantly be a main event talent again for them. So I think that, you know, there's the short term easy money is in Jeff Hardy, but I would love to see AJ Styles have a WWE run. I really think over the long haul, if they take good care of him, and that's always the big question mark with WWE, I think he could also make good money for them. And I just think there's so many people on that roster I would enjoy seeing him work with that he hasn't yet. But don't get your hopes up for Jeff Hardy. I mean, he's, as far as this year's WrestleMania is concerned, as I reported in the .in Weekly audio show, he was telling people at WrestleCade that he's out. He may need another surgery, I believe. I think he's telling people he does need another surgery, and he's like 9 months away and from returning to the ring. And even when he does, there's a lot of concern that he may not be able to wrestle the same style. So keep that in mind.
I mean, that's what happened to Kobe Bryant. You know, a couple injuries, had to take time off, and came back and just doesn't have the same spring in his step, doesn't have the same leap, and, you know, said it's it. You know, he's not even playing at the end of games, and it's just he's not the same guy. He was one of the greats for 20 years, and then, boom, it just happens. And Jeff Hardy and Kobe, I think, are very close to the same age. I think Kobe's 38, and they're both 38. So, yeah, I mean, that can happen, especially with guys who are very, very reliant on their athleticism, and both Kobe and Jeff are. Good details there, Jason. Appreciate that. Let's go to 251 next, and then on deck, 718. 251, thanks for calling. State your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Brian from Fairhope, Alabama. Just want to ask really quickly, now that the network is a bigger, I'd say growing more than the pay-per-view era is, does that make a difference when you have these sudden title changes right after an intense main event match? I mean, I used to feel like, oh, you're wasting all your pay-per-view money, but now it's not pay-per-view money. So does it make a difference if you have a big, intense match and then you give away the championship on cable TV the next day?
I think the way to look at it is they're playing with the same amount of money, Brian. It's just they need five people who have the network to feel upset that they bought the network primarily for pay-per-view and paid $10, but everybody got to see the title change compared to one pay-per-view buyer being upset and going, hey, wait a second, I paid $55 for this and people got to see it for free. But you have five times as many people probably watching last night's pay-per-view on the network than would have watched it on pay-per-view, but they're paying the same amount of money as they would have if they were paying $55. So in a way, I think the problem is still there. Jason, you still need to make the network and primarily those monthly live former pay-per-views, they have to have great value so people feel like my $120 a year, my $10 per month, however they look at it, gives me an advantage over the person with basic cable.
You don't want just to... You can get. I mean, it's fine. Last night, I even commented last night in my audio review that I was surprised that they, you know, with Twitter being what it is, and everybody usually having some anything they can find that's negative, they'll point it out. I really didn't see anything. Any people complaining that they gave away a rematch of the pay-per-view main event, they gave the payoff away on Raw, and it's because they don't do it often. You don't want to make that become what people are saying about you, though. You don't want it to become everything. They give everything away on Raw anyway, you know. So the pay-per-views aren't what they used to be, or you know, whatever the lingo you want to use, live special. You don't want to plant that seed in people's heads. So as long as you're careful about it and you're selective, and when you do it, you can do things like they did last night, and it's not going to bother too many people. I mean, I do think, if this were a pay-per-view, yeah, I do think we'd be hearing more complaints about it, Wade. I mean, I'd still have the same answer that they don't do it often. It's not like TNA. I mean, that just became their thing. You just could count on it almost at times. With TNA, where they just give away the pay-per-view main event and the satisfying finish on television, rather than, you know, giving you the satisfying moment as a paying member, someone paying for their shows. And it was very frustrating, and I think that really worked against them on pay-per-view. But with WWE, it doesn't happen often. And as long as it stays that way, they can, you know, pick and choose when to do it, and it's going to be okay.
It is. It's about making it the exception, not the rule. I also think people got to see a TLC match. They got to see a different version of Reigns and Sheamus, and a better version of Reigns and Sheamus on Sunday night compared to Monday night. And they also saw an intense, newsworthy, memorable beatdown of Triple H. And there was a good underneath card. Not a great one, but a good one. Jason Ryan had brought up, too, the opening ladder match with the three tag teams.
Yeah.
I had said on Twitter, and it created a bit of an uproar, that I've come to loathe these matches, not because they're not good and they're not exciting, but I feel like, and again, Twitter's a bad place to put something out, you know, something out there that people are going to not understand the context of, but I don't like when you put a match out there in an opening spot where guys are taking those kinds of risks, and what should at least... Triple H's smiling, happy photo in London notwithstanding, it should seem like there are long-term ramifications for taking a beating, like Triple H took on Sunday, or like those three tag teams took on Sunday also. And I'm so used to that in TNA, and to a lesser degree, but somewhat in WWE, where you have these opening matches, and they're just there to be a spot fest to serve that slice of the audience that just, in that moment in time, wants to see a really exciting match. And they super serve that audience in a way that satisfies them, but doesn't look at the big picture. What is this doing to burn out the crowd? What is it doing to take away what should be reserved to some degree for Roman and Sheamus? So the main eventers, the ones who really are drawing the money, have a chance to not be reusing gimmicks that opening match guys used for 18 minutes in a better match. And I don't know, I'm curious what you think, but the follow-up on Raw last night, normally those types of matches don't get a lot of follow-up. It really is there. It's like, hey, you small athletic guys who we don't otherwise care about, go put on a show for us so that the fans who like that kind of thing are happy, but we're not going to really mention it ever again. They did a better job in that they talked about it last night, although that was a weird angle on Raw.
Whatever.
Almost, you know, the poor Usos were almost like, I think they felt Roman's pain from the week before. You know, you get sent out there to do something that doesn't get over, and you look around. So anyway, a lot of stuff kind of thrown at you as far as that goes, but I wanted to address Ryan. Was that the best match of the night? How do you feel about those matches being in the opener? I think we've all been kind of critical of TNA doing that with the X Division over the years. And did WWE have the right idea in mind, at least, even if the execution kind of flopped?
I think they put it in the opening spot because they wanted to distance it from the main event. You know, you also had a chairs match on the show. And, I don't think that match belonged in a main event when you think about it. I think it's more a flaw with the TLC concept. I don't think you needed to have that match. I would have preferred even with the chairs match, had that just been a standard wrestling match. I think the show could have used more downtime in between these gimmick matches than we got. And I think if you watch the first part of the match, the crowd's pretty flat. They'd seen it all on this show. How many times can you see someone be hit over the chair with the back and go, ooh, at some point, just like, oh, you hit him with the chair again. Then you become desensitized to it. And
they
so I think
chanting.
That was
We've the... already seen this during the main event, Jason.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you have to be, so I think that was the strategy. I think that's why, more so than, it's just a throwaway X division spot fest, we'll throw it on in the opening match. I think there was some strategy to it, but I don't like the message it sends at all. And, you know, like you, I like that they at least tried to put that over last night, but that was so flawed. That was, they're just trying to recreate what they did with the Hardys and Dudleys and Edge and Christian back in the day. And the payoff to it was so weird. Like, the babyface tag teams got mad because the heels were dancing? That's what upset them?
And they were celebrating
victory.
I
just kept waiting for New Day to finally, and it was like, the babyface teams are expecting it. The fans are expecting it. You're just waiting for the New Day to cross that line to do something where, okay, they're not as respectful as they're acting, and now the babyface are going to put them in their place, and it never came.
That was just one of those, what did they think would happen when they came up with this in the back? Because it just, I don't have a rant in me about it or anything like that. I just more of a chuckle, like, wow. That was just a weird thing. So anyway, let's try to get a couple more calls before we wrap up here. By the way, PW Torch VIP is a place to go to get about 100 exclusive podcasts per month, ad-free. All the live casts throughout the month are available on a special RSS feed for our VIP members. You can subscribe to the whole lineup of live casts or just certain shows. We have RSS feeds broken down by show type, and they're ad-free. This plug, the commercial breaks, all taken out, and we have VIP after shows that we tack on as special bonuses with the same hosts or different hosts. Tuesday, Jason Paul and I do a VIP after show. On Wednesday, James Caldwell joins Pat McNeil for a good discussion on the events of the week. That is a VIP exclusive after show on Wednesdays. Thursday, we often have exclusive content in our Thursday interviews. And in addition to that, the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the Fix with Todd Martin, and so many more. Pay-per-view roundtables, Moonlighting with Greg Parks, all kinds of current events analysis, Sean Radican covering the indie scene in Japan with an array of guests. It is, like I said, about 100 podcasts per month that are VIP exclusive, available to stream on your phone on our new mobile web browser or new mobile website, or you can subscribe on iTunes or on popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. And in the mix in those 100 are retro shows, 10 years ago audio shows that we're reposting with behind-the-scenes news, pay-per-view roundtable analysis, and much more. Near the anniversary date, near the 10-year anniversary date of when the audio shows went up. This includes interviews we've done too. And then we go back even further to the early 90s with the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show. We have literally hundreds more of these shows to post. Dozens have been posted. Big-name interviews with Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, Nature Boy Ric Flair, Jesse the Body Ventura, Paul Heyman, Mick Foley, vintage early interviews, early career interviews. Well, not Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. That was late career. But you get what I'm saying. Vintage interviews and a live call-in format like this. It is a fascinating glimpse into what wrestling fans like you were talking about with hosts like us back in the early 90s. And I was often a guest on the John Arezzi show based out of New York, too. In fact, the next show we're putting up, I believe, is one that I'm on. It's either the next one or the one after that. I was a guest for a while analyzing the news of the day. So it's really fun to go back in the time capsule. A lot of familiar names are talked about that are still active today, and like Ric Flair, for instance, and Mick Foley still out there making news. So it's a fun retro format, plus the Wayback Playback. Jim Valley and Pat McNeil discuss in real time, sync up their show with a DVD or a WWE Network airing of an old Saturday Night's Main Event or an old pay-per-view or an old Nitro. Every Sunday, a new Wayback Playback goes up. You can sync up with them, and I have two very smart and witty wrestling veteran wrestling fans and analysts essentially watch the show with you and fill you in on stuff that was going on behind the scenes and keep you entertained while you're watching some selections. And we do polls on the VIP website where VIP members often get to pick what episode or event comes up next. Besides that, add free access to our website, access to 28 years of archives, a new Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter every week, over 1,400 back issues of our Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s with in-depth cover stories, my pay-per-view reports of star ratings, my reports on Raw and Night, and going back to other shows that predated them, editorials, Torch Talk transcripts, and so much more. Over 1,400 back issues as soon as you sign up in either PDF or text format or both. And it's a way to catch up on what the inside word and what the analysis and thoughts were in real-time coverage of pro wrestling dating back 28 years. You can sign up. It's only $10 a month to get access to everything I said as soon as you sign up. and you can retain your membership, $10 every month or $99 for a year. The place to go, pwtorch.com/govip. It'll fill in more details on what I just said. And we also have a print copy of our newsletter you can subscribe to, and that page has a link taking you to details on subscribing to a home edition, a print paper copy edition that you can have delivered to your home address once a week, also as a separate subscription. So full details over at pwtorch.com/govip. And again, what I just did, VIP members didn't hear. That got edited out on the VIP feed later tonight. All right, let's go to calls and fit a few more in before we wrap up. 845, thanks. Well, actually, 845 is not on hold. He is in the standby queue. So let's go instead to 347. 347, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Chris from New York, and I have two questions.
Go for it, Chris. Thanks.
Okay. The first one is actually about Roman Reigns. Do you think a lot of the hardcore fans resent Roman Reigns because he sees pro wrestling just like his cousins, Wayne Johnson, as a job, and he doesn't seem like one of these guys that obsesses over this industry 24/7 and wants to do it till the day he dies? Do you think that's where the resentment comes from? They think this guy, if he could play professional football for the Minnesota Vikings, he wouldn't even be in this company right now. And the second question is about John Cena.
Best.
Yeah, John Cena. Do you think that he's all this talk about the face of the company, do you think that John Cena as well as Vince McMahon know that as long as John Cena is wrestling, he'll be the face of the company, regardless of how many titles they give to Roman Reigns, and the new face will come at a time when John Cena does actually retire from competition?
Chris, thank you as always. Jason, I love Chris's questions because he's got this, like, he gets worked up over this idea in his head that he's read somewhere, heard on this show, and he's like, do you think? And it's just, it's a passionate question. And I think actually...
And he gets right to it. I love it.
He does too. Yes. I think actually he's onto something with Roman. I mean, I love the way he put it. Do people resent Roman because he doesn't want to wrestle till the day he dies and he thinks about wrestling 24/7? He has kids and would like to play in the NFL instead. I mean, the premise Chris's premise is a little bit easier to knock down a little bit, because I think, you know, Daniel Bryan doesn't necessarily, well, maybe Daniel Bryan wants to wrestle till the day he dies. I'm not sure that CM Punk ever did. But I really do get the spirit of what Chris is saying. And I do think there is something to that, Jason. It's part of, I call them the bellwether fans, the ones who know the history of these guys, know the inner workings a little bit. They kind of set the tone. And of course, if Roman connected with the rest of the fans, it wouldn't matter. But sometimes they can kind of lead the herd in a certain direction. And I think with Roman, and I think I talked about it, that CM Punk interview a year ago, I think played into it when he said, yeah, I'm not in WWE anymore, but the last few times that I was, all I heard is make Roman look good. I think that set Roman up for fans resenting him at the peak period of time when fans wanted CM Punk to still be around or to come back. So, yeah, I mean, Jason, there's something to what Chris is saying, even if it's not quite as extreme as the counter-argument goes.
Well, there is, and you see it in NXT as well. A guy like Baron Corbin, who has the NFL history and comes in, and he's compared to guys that have been working for years and years. Just like Reigns gets called up, a lot of people wanted that to be Chris Hero in the role he was in The Shield. A very popular independent wrestler who was in developmental at the time as Cassius Ohno. And then, of course, he's going to be compared to the other guys in The Shield that he was with, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, who spent years and years on the independent scene. And so, yeah, I do think that is held against him by some fans. And I'm just jumping back to the vest thing. I'm surprised he still wears it. I am. I think you can probably, going back to when they were starting this push, I'm pretty sure I even said, we don't even know what's under the vest yet. You know, I mean, and you can find clips of it, obviously, at NXT. I just wonder if you, part of the reason they keep it on him is if you take some of the look away, you're making him something that he isn't. He's not a trunks and boots style wrestler, and so that would almost be going against whatever is making him work at whatever level he is working right now.
Jason, do you think people don't like Travis Bryant because, like, unlike everybody else who was on the live cast during the week, he seems like he likes something other than wrestling some of the time. I love it. Hopefully Chris understands that this is in good humor. I appreciate his call, and I think it's a good question. What was I just going to say about that? Oh, by the way, this has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about, and we'll get to a second question. Stephanie McMahon, in all this talk about Roman Reigns and everything that happened, she had the line of the night. She had the line of the night. I put it on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at the Wade Keller, at the Wade Keller. And you can follow our brand at PW Torch. And you can follow our MMA brand at MMA Torch. And by the way, check out our tons of UFC coverage from a mega weekend last weekend. And wow, just amazing two main events on Saturday night. And then also we'll have coverage of the Fox Sports special coming up Saturday night. And you can get a free podcast over at MMATorchLivecast.com covering the weekend happenings, and also get over at MMATorch.com, our sister website, a ton of pre-show perspective and stories and predictions and analysis coming up on the big show coming up on Saturday night, broadcast on Fox, which might determine some very big things for the future, especially in that main event. But on Twitter last night, I said that Stephanie had the line of the night, and it was, people think I'm this and I'm that. You know, basically, talk circles around the B word. But really, if you take away my money and my education, I'm just like all of you. I just popped when she said that. Because it was one of the, as somebody followed up on Twitter, I'm not sure that the audience saw it as the insult that it was. But I just thought Stephanie was great last night. I thought it was a fantastic line. You know, I'm surprised she didn't say, if you take away my good looks and my hygiene, I'm just like you. Yeah, she was spectacular. I really liked her last night. I give her a hard time, and I think she deserves it for sometimes emasculating wrestlers. You could say there was maybe a little bit of that going on with Roman Reigns and the slaps, but you know, what are you going to do?
You think?
But that said, I thought her performance last night was her at her best in terms, and really Sunday night reacting to Hunter. She stopped short of going over the top, but she was very believable in that role. Of course, then I went on Twitter to give her a hard time, and there she is saying, I just played this part on TV, and I'm really a nice lady who's all about charity. Anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, it was a great line. It definitely was. But yeah, that was an emasculating moment for sure. It was like some weird McMahon initiation hazing moment where you had Stephanie slapping the piss out of Roman Reigns, and then you have Vince McMahon kicking him below the belt later in the show. The whole thing, I can't imagine we can go back in time and find any champion in wrestling history who has like been beaten by non-wrestlers as much as Roman Reigns was last night on the night he won the title.
But by God, it worked. I mean, you know, like I think Vince and Stephanie.
In spite of those things.
I think Vince and Stephanie are like, well, we got you over. You know, you might not be able to have any more kids. You might not be able to get out of bed in the morning. And you might have permanent brain damage. But damn it, we got the Philly crowd to not reject you. So we know what we're doing. You could just see Vince last week going, bah, God, dang, if nobody else can get him over, but I can. Get me on that show.
Guaranteed he is just like he's so proud of himself today. I don't think it was a coincidence that he won this championship in the same building that he was booed out of at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, well, maybe it was. Maybe in a sense, maybe it was a coincidence.
I don't think he started planning it at the Rumble going, damn it, next time we're there. I don't think it's anything like that, but I think as we got closer, I'm sure he had this date circled on the calendar.
Yeah, yep. Okay, well, let's go ahead and take another call real quickly, Chris. Yeah, John Cena will be the face of the company until somebody takes a spot. And, yeah, I mean, that's almost a given. All right, let's go to...
And they're trying.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yep, but it'll take some time. 210, you're up next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is James in San Antonio.
Hey, James, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Hey, I just want to say that I really appreciate the intelligence... wrestling conversation got turned on to you, Wade Keller, and the PW Torch livecast via via the Stone Cold podcast. So really enjoying everything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome. I think it's amazing how different personally I feel today about Raw than I did, you know, 1 week ago. I mean, it's, I was right on with you and Jason last week with just how bad the product was. And, yeah, they still have a lot of things to fix, but definitely a step in the right direction. The only problem I see, well, I mean, one of the problems I see moving forward is, you know, there's been some comparisons to, you know, Austin McMahon, and that this is, you know, kind of the new Austin McMahon. But when Austin was feuding with Vince, you know, back in, you know, the late 90s, Vince had a stable of heels to turn to, you know, strong over heels that, you know, Austin could feud with. You know, he feuded with, you know, Taker, and he feuded with Rock and Mankind. And right now, you know, there's just no real heels that are over. You know, as we've all been talking about, of course, you know, Sheamus and crew, I mean, they're ice cold. And so I do see that as a problem moving forward. And then just one other point, I was talking with some friends right after TLC, and we were saying that that Reigns was starting to get over, but the problem was, is, you know, in general, we don't hate Triple H like we do Vince. And, you know, the Triple H probably will never be Vince. And then, boom, Vince pops up the next day. And, you know, and maybe they shot their load, but I think they had to do it. And, you know, they had to get those ratings up or give it a shot. And, you know, it certainly worked.
Yeah, I mean, it did. There is, obviously, what we're down to, Jason, now is long-term sustainability as an issue. Well, coming out of last night, the question is there long-term sustainability? James, what do you have confidence that Roman will be able to stay or continue to move in the right direction, or do you think this was kind of a hotshot blip and it's actually going to subside and things will be back to a bad spot 3 weeks from now?
We'll just have to wait and see. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm going to just kind of go into a wait-and-see mode. They may have spent everything they had in the tank, but, you know, maybe Lesnar can come in as kind of like the authorities, you know, a hired assassin or something like that with Heyman, you know, pull some good promos with that. But they're going to have to really do some work on the heel side.
Jason, your thoughts?
They have time. You know, that's the nice thing about WrestleMania season. I mean, obviously they're setting up something with Hunter. And then you get Fastlane, which we'll see what that is. I mean, for all I know, they're going to save the Hunter match for Fastlane instead. It's not the Chamber anymore. But then it's WrestleMania. And whether it's Lesnar, I still think it's going to be just kind of a choose your guy kind of a moment. I don't know that they're going to bring back Brock and make him a heel just because it doesn't feel like it's been long enough since he turned. Or even John Cena. You know, those are times, that's 2 months really he's got slotted, basically, with Triple H, one of the 2 months, and then likely one of those matches at WrestleMania. And so they have some time in there to get some heels over. And I'm looking at what the damage they've done to some of these guys, there's not a lot of great candidates, so maybe someone turns. Maybe this is the year they finally pull the trigger on John Cena, and if that's the case, well, you've got several months of feuds with Roman Reigns, John Cena, coming out of WrestleMania if you want to, if you do it right, even longer. So, I mean, I think they're okay for now, Wade, is the big thing that, yeah, there's a shortage of heels, but they have a little time to change that.
They do. I want to break in with ratings, too, because we just got them a moment ago. 2.66, huge bounce back last night. It's like on election night when we have returns. We have new returns at the top of the hour from North Carolina, the swing state. It is a 2.66 rating, way up from the 2.15 last week. It's the best rating since August 31st of 1956. Oh, wait, no. Biggest rating since August 31st.
It feels like that.
Yeah, it does, since earlier this year. And the viewership went up from the second to the third hour, although there were more viewers in the first hour than the third hour, which is worth noting. But the 3.8 million in the third hour was above the 3.... it was only about a 50,000-person difference, but the third hour at least didn't drop. In adult men, the rating did go up. It went from about a 1.6 to a 1.9 from the first to the third hour. So kind of a ratings and viewership thing that's kind of funky in that regard, too. I think what that is James will break it all down. James Caldwell at pwtorch.com and put it in perspective. But bottom line is Monday Night Football game did 11.5 million viewers, a little less than the norm. Raw might have taken a bite out of it. Certainly Vince McMahon, the promise of a title change, the way that they said, oh, by the way, Roman will be on ESPN tomorrow celebrating his title win. Well, unless he doesn't win, but wink, wink.
Right.
During ring intros. I mean, I didn't think it was like a horrible giveaway because, I mean, Roman could be on there lamenting losing his job, or they could say, well, you know, since Roman was fired, he's decided not to show up, which we can't blame him. Whatever. I mean, you can talk yourself into thinking it wasn't
90 seconds.
But yeah, Jason, your reaction, 2.66. Last week we were wondering if they would get to 2.66 during WrestleMania season. And here they did it 7 days later. I mean, you can do nothing but give WWE credit for finding a way to show what Vince McMahon's probably been telling USA Network executives all along. Don't worry that we got a lot of injuries. We're you know, reeling from that. But we're not going to hotshot and blow WrestleMania season
60
because of it,
seconds.
And we'll be fine. Hang in there. I think this is way better than he would have put money on, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I mean, I did think they would top that mark during Mania season, but if you had asked me last week if I thought they'd do it this week, I would have said absolutely not. And they pulled it off. And I think they did cut into the game a little bit because it's, you know, granted it's not a great year for either team, the Giants or the Dolphins, but it's still a big New York market team playing on Monday Night Football that still, you know, has playoff aspirations. And so I'm surprised that the Monday Night Football numbers were what they were, but even more surprised that WWE managed to win back as many viewers as they did, especially since it wasn't like they were advertising all day long that Vince McMahon was going to appear. That was something that that they announced during the show. I mean, the only thing we really knew is that Roman Reigns beat up Triple H. Tune in to Raw to find out what the fallout is.
Yes. We'll talk about Vince's performance in the VIP after show and also a little bit about NXT and ROH. But let's get one, maybe two calls in before we wrap up here. 318, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Wayne from Louisiana.
Hey, Wayne, thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
I've got a couple of points, and I'm going to make them quick, but I don't want to get another caller in. After TLC, I haven't felt that excited to watch Raw since WrestleMania.
Yep.
And that was, remember, they drew a big number the night after WrestleMania on Raw. And when I watch Raw on Mondays, I have direct TV, so I have picture in picture. So I put the Monday night game on the right side and Monday night on the left, and I will decide at the start of the show, because they're still in pregame on Monday Night Football at the start of Raw, whether I'm going to watch the red. And throughout the whole show of Raw, they hooked me. They actually, and that's the first time they've done that in years.
Wow.
Since CM Punk and Brock Lesnar and all that, that was the last time I've been this hooked. And it showed in the ratings, and I think they did a real good job of that. And another point I wanted to make is I watch a lot of wrestling, all kinds of indies, and when WWE does it right, they don't do it right all the time, but when they do it right, there's still no doubt about it, other than, you know, even if you're comparing them to NXT, when they do it right, they do it right.
I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I mean, you want to see them get it right more often, and I think they could. It's, you know, you can't hotshot every week a title change. You can't have Vince McMahon come out every week, or Vince McMahon coming out doesn't mean anything anymore. But yeah, Jason, this was evidence that, you know, again, I said at the top of the show, people, well, if you hate us so much, why do you watch? Well, it's a stupid thing to say to begin with, and I'm just going to be blunt about it. You don't just give up on something that you love because it has a few bad weeks or even a bad year if you're a lifelong fan of something. And part of loving something is not, it's not the stupid cliche, love it or leave it. If you love it, you stay around and you fight for change that you think will make it better. And you point out things that need to be pointed out, especially when Vince is surrounded by yes men who aren't telling him what needs to be done, or he's got people who aren't qualified and noticing what's wrong with the product. So, no, expressing discontent with something doesn't, if you're upset with your sports team, it doesn't mean you have to then become a fan of the rival or quit watching the sport. Part of watching WWE is hanging around for the ups and the downs. And I also said I've seen lower lows and I've seen higher highs, and the bounce backs are a hell of a ride. They're waiting around for them to fix the problems is one of the more fun aspects of following wrestling for over 30 years. Well over 30 years I've watched wrestling, and not everybody bounces back. The AWA didn't, WCW didn't. I mean, some promotions don't bounce back, but when they do, when there are bounce backs, it's a lot of fun, Jason.
It is, yeah, without question. Hopefully this is that time. I mean, they still have a lot to prove. The flaws that we've seen in their game now for months and months, many of them are still there. They had two good nights. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. They had two good nights, and they need to be consistent with this, or we're going to be talking about those same flaws come WrestleMania season.
I agree. Okay, let's try 931. 931, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Charlie from Nashville.
Hey, Charlie, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
First, I wanted to say a good job on the Stone Cold podcast. I really liked how you kept to your guns, how you disagreed with Stone Cold, and you stayed with it, which was really, really cool. And the other thing is, with the problems that they're having with the roster right now, why do we still see someone like Damian Sandow sending out tweets saying, please give me a chance? I mean, the guy was so over not too long ago, and he's having to sit on the sidelines when the roster is really needing help.
Yeah, Jason, Damian's one of those guys who I think deserves better than what he has. It's one of those situations where, yeah, he went along with kind of a silly gimmick for multiple silly gimmicks, and I think it has worked against him. And, you know, now he's sort of in that Zack Ryder spot of trying to find a way to get noticed again. I think he deserves better than what he's getting, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the third week in 3 weeks that I think we've had a Sandow-related question,
yeah.
And so I think there's a little bit of interest there still. I think the story I was told on this, again, is that when he was the Money in the Bank guy, he added a little weight, and he just kind of, I think, he had some supporters that he may have lost. They thought that, yeah, and so, you know, that I think that's part of the issue there, is that when he was given the ball, there's some people that felt like he dropped it. You know, he didn't do enough with it. He didn't keep himself in shape. And so I don't know if he's still paying the price for that, or if it's just kind of, well, it's just, you know, they saddled him with some bad gimmicks. And I'm hopeful that the idea right now with him is just to keep him off television for a little bit, so that when he comes back, they can kind of start, you know, he's fresh again. You're not still thinking of Ms. Dow and the macho Ms. Dow character, or whatever the hell they were calling that thing. And they can just get back to the intellectual savior, or even a new gimmick, whatever they have in mind.
Very good. I want to thank all our callers, including everybody still on hold. We've got to wrap up the live portion of the show here and move on to the VIP exclusive after show. Again, you can go to prowrestling.net and sign up for membership to Jason's site. Get more insight, like Jason just had, on Sandow and other things that he digs up from his sources. The .NET Weekly Show is a must-listen weekly podcast if you want to really be up and ahead of the curve on pro wrestling. And that's available if you go to prowrestling.net. Jason plugged that earlier. The membership sign-up link is over there. pwtorch.com/govip is the place to go to sign up. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Tomorrow, by the way, here at pwtorchlivecast.com, Pat McNeil joined by Travis Bryant for a post-NXT TakeOver wrap-up show. They'll be live on the air. We haven't talked a lot about, much at all, about NXT TakeOver. We'll do some of that in the VIP after show, but we'll have a live post-game show. It's kind of cool. You know, we had a caller from England say it's neat to not be watching a pay-per-view in the middle of the night. I think it's going to be kind of fun not to be doing a pay-per-view post-analysis in the middle of the night, you know, at 10:30, 11, 12. It'll be nice to watch a show in the afternoon and be able to do a live call-in show and some wrap-up, and then, you know, be done with a work day. I mean, if I had my way, I don't know. I guess there'd be pros and cons, but it'd be kind of fun to have at least a year, Jason, where all wrestling shows started at noon, so like normal people, we could be wrapped up by 5 p.m. and have normal evenings. But it's, you know, like baseball beat writers and NFL and MMA reporters, I mean, it's just not the way it works for us. But it's kind of nice having an exception to that on Wednesday. So check that out.
Does that mean you're not staying up for TNA at like 10 o'clock Central now?
What do you mean?
Well, they got bumped. They got bumped by Destination America to the late slot.
Oh, I see.
And it'll it'll be the last one on Destination America by the looks of things.
Oh, well, good. I have less stacked up on my DVR headed into new January with lame duck shows that don't really matter. So I'd rather have the title matches live was it January 5th or 4th? The first Tuesday of January.
January 5th. Tuesday, yep. January 5th.
We're going to talk about the exciting changes coming to SmackDown 2. Speculate what that could be. Talk about Mauro Ranallo's background Talk about Mauro Ranallo's background. And I said earlier on Twitter today that he's the only, although it kills my voice when I do it. I have to basically drink a glass of water afterwards. But I can do a sort of half-okay imitation of Mauro Ranallo. I cracked up Steve Austin once with it, but that's about it. And I can't do anything else. And Mauro liked that. I said, now I have a use for it. You know, now that Mauro's on SmackDown, I have more of a use for it. And he retweeted it and favorited that. He liked that earlier today, that that I can do an impersonation of Mauro Ranallo. So we'll be talking about him in the VIP after show. NXT TakeOver, ROH coming up. Some more insights from Jason on a variety of things, and a couple other things from Raw, too. And we'll check the email bag at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. By the way, the Audible trial is still available. So if you're going to be doing a lot of traveling this holiday season, and you're going to be sitting in airports or sitting in the car or taking long drives to grandma's house, whatever it is, why not sign up now for Audible? Take a break from the wrestling podcasts and check out an audio book. Over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can get a free trial. Claim your free book at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. That's audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. And if you don't want to take a break from wrestling, you don't have to, because they've got dozens of pro wrestling books for free waiting for you as your free trial. But you can also take a break from wrestling and check out some bestsellers, some books on the New York Times bestseller list, fiction and nonfiction. Again, that's audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Go check out my appearance on the Steve Austin Show over at Podcast One, and check out pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com for daily coverage throughout the day, every day, of pro wrestling and the world of mixed martial arts and the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Jason Powell from prowrestling.net, thank you so much, as always.
Hey, my pleasure. Everybody hit me up on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net.
Excellent. And on that note, until tomorrow, where Travis Bryant joins Pat McNeil for the NXT TakeOver post-game show, this is Wade Keller signing off. This is Life.